You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the herb.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, October 20th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend, folks. We made it once again through another fantastic week here at the Marijuana Agenda, and we're concluding our look at the Drug Policy Alliance Reform Conference. I've just sent in my third article for hightimes.com. Should be posted relatively soon. And it's basically the distillation of the rants that I've been doing the past couple days on how broad our focus should be as a marijuana reform movement. Are we expected to solve everything? Are we going to move forward with incremental reforms, or do we draw the line and say, no, unless this solves the problems of racism, capitalism, and inequity, we're not moving forward. So as I was going over some of the audio today for the article, I was listening to Pastor Kenny, and he's with a group that's called All of Us or None. And one of the things that would happen at Drug Policy Alliance is anytime someone would say all of us, the whole audience would respond, or none, all of us or none, right? And I'm just wondering where this all of us or none thinking was when we started medical marijuana in 1996, right? We're going to legalize marijuana, but not for all of us. No, just for some of us, just for the sick one of us. And then as medical marijuana kept going on and fewer and fewer of us were included as the condition list got more restrictive and the barriers became greater. Where was all of us or none then? Just something I was thinking about. Anyway, for today's show, we have a great segment of the Marijuana Policy Insider with a new guest to the program, legal counsel for MPP, the Marijuana Policy Project. Kate Bell joins us on the program. We're talking about a very interesting measure in Washington, D.C., which, as you know, has legal marijuana but no shops, but also has medical marijuana that does have shops. And there's a little twist that they're going to try to put into the law to allow everyone to shop at those medical marijuana dispensaries. I call it the all use is medical measure. Also coming up on the show, we've got 420 Radio's Herb Thrasher joining us for the Reefer Rock Review. He'll fill us in on the latest Reefer Rock albums, festivals, and other stuff going on. But first, let's get to the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, October 20th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. New Zealand could be the first country in the world to legalize marijuana by a nationwide voter referendum, according to Marijuana Moment. That's the result of a new minority coalition government agreement announced on Thursday as a condition of helping to install Labour Party head Jacinda Ardern as the country's next prime minister and pass some of her legislation. The Green Party extracted a promise from the incoming government to let New Zealand voters decide whether to legalize cannabis at the ballot box by 2020. Uruguay already has legalized marijuana, and Canada's government is working to end prohibition by next summer. In both of those nations, however, the cannabis changes are a result of acts of elected officials. In the U.S., voters in a growing number of states have enacted legalization ballot measures, but the country has through a national voter initiative, but the country has not through a voter initiative or referendum process. In 2008, voters in Switzerland strongly rejected a marijuana legalization referendum. House Republican leader Ken Fredette and Governor Paul LePage joined forces Thursday on a last-minute effort to delay the launch of Maine's new adult-use marijuana market until January 2019, a move that frustrated some members of a committee that has spent months trying to finalize regulations to govern the state's recreational pot industry. Portland Press Herald reports that Fredette and LePage want state lawmakers to kill the legislative committee bill that would set up Maine's regulatory framework for recreational cannabis, saying it's too big, complex, and controversial for lawmakers to debate in a single day. The full legislature is scheduled to return and vote on the bill Monday. Instead, LePage submitted a Fredette bill that calls for legislators to extend the existing moratorium on the commercial aspects of the marijuana law from February 2018 to January 2019. The Maine chapter of the Marijuana Policy Project, which along with Legalize Maine helped organize the Citizen Initiative, supports the committee bill and criticized Fredette and LePage for trying to delay the will of the voters. With 66 votes in favor, 4 against, and 3 abstentions, the Congress of Peru passed a law regulating the medicinal and therapeutic use of cannabis. After being approved by the Health Committee last Wednesday, October 11th, Congressman Eloy Narvaez, president of the working group, supported the opinion of the use of medicinal cannabis oil. Parliamentarian Javier Velazquez Quesquien, president of the Defense Commission, who on September 18th also approved this project, indicated that in the first stage, the cultivation and production of cannabis to produce the oil must be authorized by the executive branch through state institutions such as the National Institute of Health and duly authorized chemical laboratories. Marijuana Business Daily reports that the makers of Tapatio Hot Sauce is the latest to sue a marijuana company for alleged trademark infringement. Tapatio Foods LLC has filed 2 separate complaints in the U.S. District Court in the Central District of California. The October 13th complaints allege trademark infringement and unfair competition for the illegal use of Tapatio's brand and trademark to sell Trapatio, a THC-infused sauce. Tapatio is seeking a permanent injunction against selling Trapatio, along with unspecified damages. An online product listing for Trapatio appears to have been removed. The listing read, quote, add a little kick to your tacos or any food for that matter with Trapatio, a delectable hot sauce infused with THC, end quote. It's not clear where the infused hot sauce was sold. The lawsuit comes on the heels of a successful trademark lawsuit by adhesive maker Gorilla Glue Company against a marijuana producer selling a strain of marijuana called Gorilla Glue. A year after the top justice official made a splash by declaring Thailand has lost the so-called war on drugs, a quiet push to relax the country's harsh drug laws continues. Just 2 months ago, the law was changed to allow farmers to grow hemp, and another edict allowing full legalization, cultivation, use, but not sale, of kratom, a banned herbal stimulant, is expected next year. Legal amendments for marijuana and amphetamines to be used for medical treatment are being debated. Although drug officials initially floated decriminalizing marijuana for recreational use, they dropped the idea from the final draft. Thailand is notorious for its draconian drug laws, in which possession of a tiny amount of certain drugs is automatically ruled to be an attempt to sell and punished with lengthy jail terms. A majority of inmates in overcrowded prisons are there for drug offenses. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for October 20th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
This is high purity THC content marijuana, and it's not a healthy substance.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
This is Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org. MPP is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, promoting sensible marijuana policy reform in Congress, in state legislatures, and through state and local ballot initiatives. Today, We take a look at the most recent state and federal reform efforts with the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Marijuana Policy Insider. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today to discuss matters in Washington, D.C., as the district goes, not the nation's capital, but the actual district itself, we're speaking with Kate Bell, who's legislative counsel with the Marijuana Policy Project in Washington, D.C. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So to discuss Washington, D.C., let's just lay down some basics for our listeners who may not understand that, you know, it's not quite a state, but it's not really a city. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit about how the government there covering Washington, D.C. works.
Sure. So a lot of people don't realize that the District of Columbia actually has a larger population than some states. And it is growing every day. So there are many people who live here who are not members of Congress or otherwise working for the federal government. And we have our own government. We have a mayor and we have a district council. And they represent us in all eight wards of the city. And they get to make laws that govern the District of Columbia. However, unfortunately, we are also subject to the whims of Congress. So all of the laws made by the council go for a review period during which Congress can essentially overturn our laws by passing a resolution through both chambers that's subject to veto by the president. Normally, they don't have the ability to actually do that. So what they do instead is they put appropriations riders on their massive federal appropriations bills that Congress passes every year, and they use those to impact D.C. law.
So for folks that recall the election that happened where D.C. legalized the adult use of cannabis, part of the problem moving forward with getting in any sort of shops, any sort of retail going on there, any sort of commerce, has to do with what you just mentioned, that whole federal appropriations process, correct?
Correct. So Congressman Andy Harris, who is from the Eastern Shore in Maryland, did not like Initiative 71, wanted to block it. And he added a rider onto the appropriations bill that year that attempted to do so. It actually didn't block the effect of Initiative 71 because of the way that it was drafted, but it has kept D.C. from reducing any penalties for the use, possession, manufacturing, et cetera, of marijuana or any other substance that is in Schedule 1. Under the federal law. And so as a result of that, the only stores that are permitted to sell cannabis in D.C. are the pre-existing medical marijuana dispensaries, but we do not have the ability to tax, regulate, or have lawful sales for adults 21 and up.
It's such an interesting story in Washington, D.C. Prior to the adult use, the recreational, so-called recreational legalization, they've had medical cannabis access. But even that was a tortured path that began in the 90s and didn't get resolved into, what was it, 2010, before we could get around these congressional roadblocks, even for medical in D.C.?
So, yes, Congress blocked the medical law, which was passed in 1998, from taking effect for over a decade, and we didn't have dispensaries opening here until I believe it was 2013 when they actually opened.
So this takes us to where we're at today in discussing one of the latest alerts that came from Marijuana Policy Project regarding a bill in the district council are they councilman, assemblyman Grosso there in D.C. to provide pretty much universal access to those medical cannabis dispensaries. Can you give our listeners an explanation of this?
Sure. So Councilmember David Grosso, who is one of our at-large council members, so he represents the whole city, introduced a bill. It's B-22-446 that would allow anyone 21 and over to access the dispensaries. They must provide a signed affidavit that they're using marijuana for medical purposes, and that they're also aware of both state and federal marijuana laws. It has currently three co-sponsors, and yes, it would essentially change the ability of adults 21 and up to access the dispensaries.
And I can imagine that congressional critics of this and other opponents of marijuana legalization are going to see this as an end around, as a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Of course, you're going to say it's for medical purposes, but really, this is just D.C. Council trying to get around this roadblock that's forbidding any sort of cannabis commerce. What's your response if the critics came back with that sort of charge? Is that a valid charge?
Well, I mean, the purpose of the affidavit, including that they're aware of federal marijuana laws. I mean, obviously, under federal law, no marijuana possession is legal. No marijuana sale is legal. And federal law doesn't make a distinction between medical and adult use in the Controlled Substances Act. So, you know, it doesn't somehow become more illegal because of the purpose that you're using it for. So, I mean, in that sense, it doesn't make a difference. There is one distinction in federal law with something called the Rohrabacher Amendment, which is also an appropriations provision. But that doesn't actually change the legality of medical marijuana. It just says that the Department of Justice can't spend money enforcing prohibition in a way that would interfere with state medical marijuana programs. But it doesn't actually change the underlying law.
Interesting how this is all shaking out in Washington, D.C. We're speaking with Kate Bell, who's legislative counsel with the Marijuana Policy Project. And getting back to the issue of medical cannabis, we, of course, have now 29 or 30 states, depending on how you count them, plus Washington, D.C., that recognize some sort of access to medical cannabis. And one of the issues that comes up all the time is the patients traveling from state to state, or those who might want to visit our nation's capital and be able to use their medicine while they are there. What is the latest when it comes to recognizing out-of-state medical cannabis patients in Washington, D.C.?
So the council passed a law in 2016, which took effect this year because of that long period of congressional review, that made various improvements to the medical marijuana program here in D.C., including setting up lab testing, among other things. And one of the things that it did was permit out-of-state patients who have a valid card from their state to come to D.C. and to shop at our dispensaries. And unfortunately, the Department of Health has completely misconstrued the intent of the council in passing that law, and their regulation would require full reciprocity with the D.C. medical program in the other state, including allowing D.C. residents to purchase cannabis from their dispensaries in that state. I think one of the issues here is that sometimes advocates and lawmakers use the term reciprocity as a shortcut, but that's not actually accurate. What those laws really do in the states that have them is give some legal protections to patients from out of state.
Okay, and when it comes to these sort of provisions, are they dependent on the state you're in or the state you're from? Because I can imagine a state like, say, New Jersey or New York, where the qualifying conditions are really strict and hard to qualify under, compared to a state like California, where just about anyone can qualify, or now we're talking Washington, D.C., possibly being just anyone self-certifying. How is that possible? How are we going to reconcile these disparities in the law and not have a flood of people trying to get the easiest card they can get?
So it depends on the state you're in. For example, in Delaware, patients who are protected under the laws of other states and who have conditions that qualify in Delaware can legally possess cannabis in the state of Delaware. So if you are from California and you have a medical card, you can legally possess cannabis in Delaware, but only if whatever your qualifying condition is also qualifies in Delaware. So the whether or not possession is permitted depends on the law of the state you're in. In Colorado, as I think all your listeners know, if you are 21 and over, it doesn't matter whether you have a medical condition or not. Anyone can purchase and possess cannabis because they're in Colorado. Now, if they tried to bring that cannabis into neighboring Idaho, they're going to run into some problems.
Let me recommend not bringing that cannabis into neighboring Idaho. Kate Bell, thank you so much for discussing these issues with us with regard to Washington, D.C. and the issue of what is sometimes called reciprocity. Is there a place on the MPP site or elsewhere where people can get more information or maybe contact information if they'd like to ask you more questions?
Sure. MPP has a page with a map of all of the states. If you go to our website, mpp.org, and then you go to policy and then state policy, you'll actually see a map of all 50 states as well as D.C., and you can click on your state to get more information about the laws and sort of what's going on in that state. And you can also sign up for our email alerts, and that will let you know things like how to contact your council members to support Councilmember Grasso's bill.
Fantastic information out there at mpp.org. I encourage all the listeners to check that out. And Kate Bell, thank you so much for the work you're doing with MPP there in Washington, D.C. and all throughout the United States.
Thanks.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
The Marijuana Agenda. Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaman Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association and the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
All right, it's been a while since we had a chance to talk with Herb Thrasher. His show goes on live tonight, 8 p.m. on 420radio.org. That's Pacific time out here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Herb's always got the latest for us for Reefer Rock, the albums, the festivals. What's going on, Herb? Tell us all about it.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Herb Thrasher from 420 Radio and the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, bringing you another Reefer Rock report today, October 20th, 2017, always exclusively held right here on the MarijuanaAgenda.com. All right, we've got a great brand new release to talk about from the Space Stoner Monsters. That is Guar. These guys are truly from a different planet, releasing their brand new The Blood of Gods. It's got 12 tracks on it, always singing about blood and death and killing people and planets and space. And it's got a great cover from an all-time rock band on this, from AC/DC. If you want blood, you've got it. So great stuff from Guar. You know, this band has never ever changed their whole direction. They love spewing blood, they love killing. And you know what? They're, deep down in, They're really a positive band and love being happy. So don't be afraid to get out there and support the Blood of Gods. Gwar is on a tour right now also. Many bands, Ghoul and He Is Legend, and a few more opening up for them. I know they will be in Portland, Oregon on November 12th. So we'll keep you updated on that and more. Definitely get out there and support Gwar. All right, just recently announced, and this is looking at 2018 for the April 20th, 420 holiday weekend. We have the Sweetwater Brewery Company announcing 420 Fest will be held in Atlanta, Georgia. Two sets from Umphrey's McGee. You've got Tedeschi Trucks Band and my man Sturgill Simpson. Great other bands. Anders Osborne will be there. Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds. Southern Avenue. And boatloads more. So look for that festival next year, held over the 420 weekend in 2018 at Centennial Olympic Park. Again, in Atlanta, Georgia. Sounds like a great festival. So many 420 radio hosted festivals, 420 festival weekends, that it's just hard to keep up. So we're going to start keeping up now, and we'll start continuing a list, and you can always find that list on the 420 radio closer to 420 holiday weekend. All right, 40 years ago today, well, not today because it's past now, but on October 17th, 1977, Lynyrd Skynyrd released the great album Street Survivors. And this album was the one that was really going to project them to that next level. Back in the day, they had just come out with Sweet Home Alabama in 1974. So the band had made their mark, had already kind of brought in this Southern rock, keeping this whole Southern rock sound that they helped pioneer go. But unfortunately, a few days later of their fifth album released on October 1977, the band's plane went down. Sad story. Ronnie Van Zant, Steve Gaines, and backup singer Cassie Gaines all deceased. And tragic story in the world of rock. Everyone's kind of always known about Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Hall of Famers for sure. And this band and this album definitely continues to make its mark today. Speaking of making marks, within the past few weeks, unfortunately, we had the passing of a true music pioneer, and that is Tom Petty. So many musicians in the rock world, in the metal world, bluegrass world, it didn't matter, can look at Tom Petty and revel in the amazing genius and brilliance, the songwriting, how many hits he had through the years, even stoner hits. You had a lot of songs that he kind of referenced. Tom Petty was known to be a reefer guy. And, you know, You Don't Know How It Feels, Mary Jane's Last Dance. You're looking at You Get Me High, even Girl on LSD, Tweeter and the Monkey Man, and a lot of other songs like this kind of enshrined Tom Petty into the rock world, the music world, the pop world, and with that, the stoner world. So rest in peace, Tom Petty. You were amazing. All right, that's your Reefer Rock Report for today, October 20th, 2017. We'll be back next week right here on the MarijuanaAgenda.com.
Oh, thanks so much, Herb Thrasher, for stopping in, giving us the latest and the greatest for us to wind up our weekend. That's it. That's all the time we got. Time flies when you legalize. We'll be back next week with a complete week of shows as we get ready for a Halloween weekend. You know we'll be smoking some monster hash, right? Take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.